Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are going to start talking this week and do a number of days of previewing the upcoming General Assembly session. We do that this morning with Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole from the 88th District. Delegate Cole, it is good to have you here. Good morning.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. You're the first new show of 2018, and we welcome you this morning. Boy, you and I have done these shows for however long you've been in the General Assembly. We generally get together every year and talk politics. We've never talked. We're really looking at a lot of different things than what normally you and I talk about.
Yeah. It's become clear to me over my years of service in there how much Washington influences our outcomes here in the General Assembly. It's funny because we really have very little or nothing to do with Washington, you know, serving in the state General Assembly. The issues in Washington, what's going on in Washington, dramatically impacts our elections. Like, I remember when Bush was president, Democrats gained seats in the General Assembly. When Obama was president, Republicans gained seats. And now that Trump is president, it seems like it's flipped again.
Boy, that is an interesting point, because the last couple of elections, I know Democrats were thinking they were going to make gains. And I remember Speaker Howell being in here right after the election, and the Republicans gained.
Yep.
And for a lot of us, we didn't see a lot of this coming that happened.
Well, this year's elections, these are off-year elections, so turnout is normally low. And if you look at the election results, even though Republicans lost a lot of seats in the House and lost the statewide races, if you look at their actual numbers, most of those, even the ones that lost, increased their vote totals over four years ago. It's just that the Democrats turned out in droves, and they were voting for anybody that had a D by their name, and that's why Gillespie, he actually got more votes than Terry McAuliffe, our current governor, did.
Yeah.
But the Democrat turnout was so high that it didn't matter.
Huh. Yeah. No. And he was in such a close race with Senator Warner just a few years ago.
Yep.
The polls seemed to indicate it was going to be a close race right up to the end. And on election night, it was over with a little after seven.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And, what's going on in Washington has got a lot of the Democrats mad, and they're definitely coming out to the polls and taking it out on Republicans.
You have been, and I know in covering and going to a number of your debates this fall, and in your literature and over the years have always stuck by and every vote. As far as being a conservative, and that's who you are. And if you want to elect me, here I am. I would think, in especially now this year, and this year's General Assembly, in a lot of votes, a lot of people are going to be having to make some tough votes, where a lot of these votes it never was close in the House.
Yeah. Now in recent years, the General Assembly, we've always lost a few Republican votes on Republican initiatives and things that conservative bills and stuff, but we had enough of a margin so that it really didn't matter. Of course, that's not going to be the case. Right now, the House is split 50-49 Republicans with one tie vote to be decided, so it could end up being 50-50. And there's another lawsuit going on, so, and who knows how a judge will rule in these lawsuits.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You don't know how this close to the General Assembly. There are a lot of unknowns.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that it's been this way. It hasn't been this close since I've was elected back in 2001. Understand a year or two before that, it was a similar situation where the Republicans were gaining seats and the Democrats were losing the majority. And so they had a power sharing agreement. And who knows, you know, that may end up being what we end up doing. I don't know.
And I guess in your case, too, you're chairman of Privileges and Elections.
Yeah.
And you don't know, I guess, at this point, whether that stays or not.
Yeah, you don't know. Plus, even if Republicans hold on, we're getting a new speaker because Bill Howell's retiring. And he may decide he wants a different chairman. And I'm fine with that. I tell you, being chairman, sometimes all it does is make you a lightning rod. And, I don't see a whole lot of benefit to being chairman, but other than it makes you a target statewide.
Boy, and it did for you. The one issue, especially with just the voter ID.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about on this show, and as it was as an issue before, it that still remains an issue, and it's at times hard to figure out why. Because you go anywhere. And you need ID.
That's just really, you look at the polls, and it has, you know, voter ID has overwhelming public support, even among Democrats. It is just a controversy among the political class, specifically elected Democrats. And I'll be honest with you, I know this isn't true of the rank and file Democrats, but I think some of the Democrat leadership, they want to make voter fraud easy. And that's why they oppose any law that would tighten up on voter fraud.
This will be another just a different session. In a lot of ways, you don't have the General Assembly offices. The General Assembly building is going to be rebuilt.
Yeah.
And so, where will you all be?
We're in the Pocahontas building, which is just down on Bank Street. Okay, across the street from the public entrance to the Capitol. So we're still there. The building doesn't have as much space as the old General Assembly building did. So I think our quarters are going to be a little bit cramped, but we'll make it work.
And you're there for a couple of years.
I think it's 4 years. I think that's what the schedule is. It'll take about 4 years to build a new General Assembly building. And part of the reason that it's taken so long is they're trying to save some of the facade of one of the older historic buildings that we used. So that always makes it take longer whenever you're trying to preserve an older part of a building.
Session will start next Wednesday. It's a longer session because you're dealing
with
the budget this year.
Yeah, and the budget always dominates. I mean, it doesn't always get the press until near the end there, but the budget is always the 800-pound gorilla in the room in the General Assembly, and so I expect that to be the case this year. We've got several things going on. One is rebenchmarking for public education. That's where the state goes back and looks at how much it's actually costing localities to run the schools and hire people. And so that'll increase the cost of education on the state, the budget in general. With all the current expenses, we're probably about $100 million short. So we're going to have to figure out how to close that $100 million gap, which isn't a huge gap percentage-wise, but still, it's something we got to do. Plus, Governor McAuliffe, again, has proposed in the budget expanding Medicaid. In the past, we've never gone along with that, but with this new House, who knows how that vote will go. If we do expand Medicaid, hold on to your wallet, because a lot of the states that expanded it, it's created budget crises because the costs always exceed what's projected, and those costs have to come from somewhere.
We will we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Delegate Mark Cole with us this morning as we preview the upcoming General Assembly session. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole, our guest this morning, as we preview the upcoming General Assembly session. It begins Wednesday, next Wednesday, in Richmond. We just mentioned Delegate Cole. It's a budget year. And I was going to ask you right away about Medicaid expansion. You talked a little bit about that. And over the last 4 years, as the governor's brought this up, you and others and House Republicans have been against it just because you've talked about the cost.
Yeah. I mean, nothing is for free. I mean, the Democrats try to sell this as free money from the federal government. Well, one, it's not free money from the federal government because the state still has to pay its share. And just about every state that's expanded this program and Medicaid, let me explain exactly what it is. It's not Medicare.
Yeah.
Medicare is for health care for senior citizens and the disabled, and that's strictly a federal program. The state has nothing to do with that. Medicaid is a health care program to try to provide health care for the poor. And that's a joint federal and state program. The federal government pays part of it, and they also set the rules, and then the state pays part of it too. And basically, when they talk about Medicaid expansion, what they are talking about is expanding it to cover working age, healthy adults. They're not talking about families and children or the disabled. There are already other programs to cover those and provide health care for those. What they're talking about is generally healthy working age adults. And so keep in mind when they talk about expanding Medicaid, that's the bulk of where the expansion would go. And then the states that have expanded Medicaid, they've found that the estimates on the new enrollees has always been low, and their costs always exceed what is projected. And so I'm afraid that if we do expand Medicaid, it's going to create another budget shortfall that we'll have to figure out how to deal with. And it's going to, basically Medicaid and health care has been the fastest already, without expansion, has been the fastest growing area of the budget. And excuse me. And if you expand it, it's just going to accelerate that expansion.
And I know over the years, you and other Republicans have talked about ways you'd like to reform it, but you've been limited just because the federal government's involved.
Yeah, here. I mean, some of the Republican leadership has been willing to try to compromise and talk about reforms to Medicaid to make it more cost effective. And to lower the cost, and maybe then they would have funds for expansion. But the federal government has been slow to really talk about reform.
Well, and as you mentioned, if the state gets involved, and all of a sudden the numbers aren't projected, what happens then?
Then we're either going to have to cut other programs to pay for it, or they're going to have to look at raising taxes. And I don't think you want to do that, either one of those.
So that that's been Medicaid expansion has been something the governor has talked about, and Governor-elect Northam has talked about.
No, so. And they talk like it's free money coming from Washington, and Washington has this money sitting in the bank earmarked for Virginia, and that's just not the case. All they would do is, if we do expand Medicaid, Washington will just increase their deficit spending to pay their share of it, where we don't have that option, thankfully, and we'll have to figure out how to pay our share for it.
When you were talking a few minutes ago just about free money, and this came up this fall in debates. I know it's come up with in a number of other states. I have talked about making community college free, and it's always something that politicians will talk about. But it's in some ways it's like the Affordable Care Act at times, of wherever it's nothing is free.
Yeah, no, nothing is free. And I hate to get overly political on your show here, to the Democrats, I mean, their whole program is handouts. Give away everything's free, make everything free. But again, nothing is free. Somebody is paying for it. And so what you're deciding is, well, will the people who are taking advantage of the program, the people who are getting the services, are they going to pay their share of it? Or will you and I, somebody who are not involved in the program, will we be paying their share for it? A lot of people like to try to be Santa Claus when they're running for political office and say, hey, we're going to give every day's Christmas and we're going to give you whatever you want, without really sitting down and figuring out what it's going to cost. And I tell you, the government spending does not cause economic growth. This is one thing I think Democrats and liberals and socialists don't understand. Government spending does not lead to economic prosperity, because every dollar the government spends, it has to first take it out of the private sector. So all government spending does is transfer resources and jobs from the private sector to the public sector. And I'm not anti-government. I mean, government certainly has a role. There's things that government needs to do. But government spending does not spur economic growth. It does not create new jobs overall. And so whenever you raise taxes, what you're doing, all you're doing is transferring jobs and resources from the private sector to the public sector, and you're not creating a net increase in jobs or prosperity. It's the private sector that leverages money that actually grows the economy and creates new jobs, and that's why our economy has been so sluggish these last 8 years, is because there's been so much regulation and taxes on the private sector that they just haven't been able to create the jobs like they have in the past.
Well, and we've seen some of the regulations have come off in the past year, and the economy does seem to be recovering.
Yeah, that's one thing that I think the administration is doing a good job on, is they've been, the president can't get necessarily a lot of his legislative ideas through the Congress. However, what he has been doing is cutting regulations, and that's why the economy has started to grow, despite not repealing Obamacare or other things. Now, they did manage to get their tax increase bill through, so I'm hopeful that will spur more economic growth and will get the country humming again, and get new jobs created. Because I can tell you, just from experience and hearing from people in my district, that there's plenty of low-paying part-time jobs out there. There's just not, like there used to be, decent-paying full-time jobs out there. And a lot of that, I'm sorry to say, is due to Washington. Obamacare just killed small businesses. In the past, small businesses have always been the key to new job creation. Historically, 75% of new jobs are created by small business, and they're the ones that are most vulnerable to over-regulation and over-taxation. So we've got to peel that back and get the economy and rolling again, so that especially the younger people coming into the labor force can find a decent job.
Well, and so many businesses were forced to make a lot of people part-time, and then benefits were lost, and that's been a crucial.
Yeah.
And it remains a big problem for a lot of people.
And I'm afraid that until they act, now they did repeal the individual mandate, but until they repeal the mandate on businesses, Obamacare is still going to be a drag on the economy.
Yeah. Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole with us here this morning. One of the one issue in the state is state police are woefully undermanned, and have talked about their numbers. Mm-hmm. And I assume as you, when you're putting together a budget and talking about that, that'll be something that comes
yeah.
up.
Yeah, and we did a lot for them this last session, last year. You know, you're correct. They were their pay hadn't kept pace. They were losing people left and right, had all kinds of vacant positions that couldn't get qualified applicants for it. And so this last year, we gave them a good bump in their pay. Hopefully that'll help deal with a lot of the issue, but certainly not just state police, but all law enforcement. You know, they're critical. Public safety should be the most basic function of government. Yeah. And too often it's kind of an afterthought when it comes to the budgeting process. So I've always been trying to make sure that the prioritization for public safety is at the top of the list, because, like I said, the most basic function of government is to keep our streets safe.
Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole here from the 88th District. The 88th District includes part of the city, part of Stafford, part of Spotsylvania, part of Fauquier. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to...
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg. A Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Our guest this morning, our special guest, Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole, is here talking about the upcoming General Assembly session. Transportation, always a big issue. You this year have a bill in that I think everyone around here should cheer for, because it deals with I-95, and that is really an issue just as far as funding goes, because yeah. I know the localities around here are trying to figure out how to do it, because yeah. there's not enough money, and it's a real problem, and you've got an idea to take care of that.
Basically, and this is, you know, after years of frustration, you know, VDOT just has not made I-95 the priority it needs to be. It's gridlocked just about every day of the week. Studies have been done that show that, a section in Stafford is the worst congested section of highway in the country, not just in the state, but in the country.
Yeah.
Now, there are some, to their defense, there are some initiatives going on right now, some projects going on right now to try to improve it. What really needs to be done is to add additional lanes to the travel lanes. And so I've got legislation directing VDOT to do that. I don't know that it will pass, because it's very unusual for the General Assembly to direct VDOT on a specific project. I'm not sure when the last time it was ever done. But I'm just frustrated, and even if it doesn't pass, I hope that it will elevate the priority of I-95 at the VDOT level, and also in Washington too, because Washington, I think, should bear the brunt of the cost for these improvements on I-95, and they don't. Because most of the traffic on I-95, especially during the weekdays, is serving Washington. It's driven by Washington. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of federal employees, a lot of contractors that are going up to Northern Virginia and Washington for work every day. And so so really, Washington needs to pay their fair share of improvements to 95 to keep things flowing. But we'll see how it goes. Like I said, my goal with it is to just shine a light on a serious problem in our area, and to raise the priority with VDOT and hopefully federal highways on making improvements to this section of I-95, because it's long overdue. But unfortunately, like I said, I-95 just has not been a priority with VDOT. And I'm not talking about our local district office. I mean, they're just responsible for things in this area.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the statewide priority and really a national priority. And so, we definitely need some serious work done. You know, you think back several years ago when the Hot Lanes proposal, Transurban, a private company, proposed the Hot Lanes proposal to extend the HOV lanes and to expand them. That was something VDOT should have done years ago, but they had no plans to do it until this private company came forward with a proposal to do it. And so what I'm trying to do is just light a fire under VDOT and say, hey, you need to get your act together, you need to get your priorities straight, and you need to work on I-95.
Well, and if you think about it, if it were to pass and VDOT were to work on it, some of the local money, I guess, that has been tied up in trying to do things on 95 could be used on some other local roads.
Yeah, I mean that could happen. But see, this is not going to be a quick project. Obviously, adding an additional lane on 995, it's going to take several years to do that once you get it underway. But it's something VDOT needs to start doing and start working on.
That whole big transportation bill that passed a few years ago, if I remember right, you didn't end up voting for the final.
No.
Because you had some concerns, and now you hear that something else. Matt Kelly was here a few weeks ago talking about that more legislation or more changes are going to be needed in the next few years.
Yeah, and see that whole legislation, Speaker Howell, was a friend, was the chief patron of it, but the typical saying, too many chefs spoil the stew. That became a complicated Rube Goldberg type solution. Now, I will say, in its defense, it did raise significant additional funds for transportation. I think it was $1.4 billion in additional annual funding. But again, the way it was done, it was just way too complex. And even now, just a few years after it passed, before then, VDOT and the transportation, Secretary of Transportation, were coming to us every year and saying there's $1 billion a year shortfall in transportation.
Yeah.
And so the General Assembly passes a $1.4 billion increase in transportation funding. And guess what? Just a few years after that, guess what they're saying? There's $1 billion a year shortfall in transportation. So that tells me that it's not just a funding issue.
Yeah.
I think the number of hoops that you have to go through to get a road project done, or you just authorized, it takes so long, you're never going to catch up. Not only do you have to get all the local governments to buy into it, the regional authorities have to buy into it, the state, several different state agencies, VDOT, DEQ, have to buy into it. Then it has to go to Washington. Just about every project has to go to Washington and be reviewed, not just by the highway department, has to be reviewed by the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers. I mean, it can take a decade or more just to get all the permits to start work on a road project. And at that rate, I don't care if you doubled VDOT's budget tomorrow, you still wouldn't see any effects of it for, maybe decades to come.
Yeah.
And we'll never catch up like that.
Delegate Mark Cole here this morning. Any other local legislation that you're looking at?
Well, I do have one that's, as a Cold War veteran, I've got a resolution in to make November 7th Victims of Communism Memorial Day. I think it's important that we educate, especially our younger folks, on the horrors of communism, because, unfortunately, thanks to a lot of liberal and socialist college professors, polls are showing that young people have a favorable opinion of communism and socialism. And they forget that worldwide, communism was the most deadly ideology in human history. More than 100 million people, far more than what the Nazis killed, 100 million people were killed by communist regimes around the world. And I think it's appropriate that we memorialize that and not forget, because the old saying goes, those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it. And so that's a resolution that I'm offering in this year.
And so what, that would be what, in November?
November 7th, I believe, is the date. That was the anniversary of the Russian Revolution that created the Soviet Union, the first communist regime in the world, and kind of sparked decades and decades of bloodshed.
A number of other things are expected to come before the General Assembly. The governor has talked in the past about, in the past year or so, about gun control and wanting to bring back the one gun a month limit. Did you see any changes with that?
I don't know. With the new General Assembly, as closely as we're split, I don't know what will pass. I don't think that's needed now. We already do background checks. I'm not sure that the one gun a month was very effective, and there was no evidence that it really contributed to reductions of crimes or anything like that. So I'm not sure that I've always said we don't need more gun control laws. We need to, better enforcement of the laws we currently have before we start creating newer ones. And plus statistics show that places that make it easier for law-abiding citizens to carry arms to defend themselves have lower crime rates. So unfortunately, a lot of times these gun-free zones just do not work because the best answer for a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun, and you don't make people safer by making it harder for them to defend themselves.
Will the General Assembly be jumping to the whole Confederate monuments debate?
They may. Most of these monuments, require General Assembly approval before they can be moved. I don't think we need to do any of that. One, it's history. And two, it would cost millions of dollars to tear down or to relocate these monuments, and for no good reason. If people want to add, some local monuments for historic context or whatever, that may be fine. But we don't need to be spending a lot of taxpayer resources moving these monuments. Plus, I'm concerned that all this war on basically the Civil War is going to really hurt our state tourism, especially in our local area, because a lot of people come from out of state and around the world to see these monuments and to tour the Civil War battlefields and things like that. So I would not support anything of that sort.
Well, and you look at what the city has done and going to put more, just put some more context around, say, the slave block.
Yeah. And originally, that's what Mayor Stoney in Richmond proposed. I think he took some heat and he backed off on that, since. But, if you want, let's add a monument on Monument Row to Frederick Douglass or some of the great abolitionists that really were in the trenches there. Fighting slavery and helping people get their freedom.
In the last session, in the last year or so, the whole redistricting reform has come up. I guess that'll come back. I mean, the thing you always hear is nonpartisan, and you and others have pointed out what does that mean?
Yeah, there's no such thing as nonpartisan. It sounds good, but studies have shown that these so-called independent redistricting commissions, they gerrymander just as much as the legislatures do, because all it really does is, instead of making things open and transparent, it elevates the politics to a less transparent level, and then the politics all comes into, well, who serves on the commission and who gets to make the appointments. Somebody's going to have to explain to me how you know, a commission made up of political appointees appointed by politicians takes the politics out of anything. But we'll see. You know, I try to keep an open mind about it. And, you know, if somebody comes up with a better idea, a better way to handle redistricting, you know, I'll certainly look at it.
Trying to remember, I think the Jew had suggested that the state Supreme Court
look
into it.
Yeah, and I'm sure the state Supreme Court doesn't want to touch it. Because these judges, they seem to love to get involved after the fact. Say, oh, no, you shouldn't have done that, or this is what you should have done. Well, let's get them involved on the front end and let them come up with their own plan. And see how that works then. I'm sure they won't want to do that. But, what happens is, you know, this last redistricting that was done in 2011 was actually bipartisan because the Republicans controlled the House and Democrats controlled the Senate, and the redistricting had to pass both bodies. So it was actually a bipartisan redistricting effort. And it was approved by President Obama's Justice Department. It met all the requirements at the time. It's just that these judges, after the fact, start changing the requirements. Regardless of how you redistrict, these judges need to quit trying to change the rules after the fact. And that's the whole mess that's been created with some of these lawsuits and so forth. And again, I don't think an independent redistricting commission is going to solve that.
Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole here. We'll wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole here this morning. But as we have talked this morning, Delegate Cole, and we said at the beginning, it's just going to be a different kind of session. There were a lot of these issues we would always talk about, but you would be able to say with pretty certainty how far it would go in the House. You just don't know any of that.
No, it's going to be a different climate down there, this year. And we'll just see how things go, how they progress. Right now we're still not even sure who's going to have the majority in the House. Like I said, right now it stands 50 Republicans, 49 Democrats with one TBD, a tie that should have been a name was supposed to have been drawn out of the hat last week. The Democrat challenger filed a lawsuit and to try to stop it, and the State Board of Elections, which is dominated by Democrats right now, is cooperating with the Democrat candidate in that case.
As we've talked about all these issues, and there are a lot of other things that we didn't get to. What do you see as going into this session as really the biggest issue that you see facing the Commonwealth?
Well, like I said, it's always the budget, but also having a new governor. Governor Northam will be taking office, and a lot will depend on his priorities and how he decides to govern. Will he be the kind of the centrist who was elected to the state Senate, or will he be the extreme liberal who ran for governor? And that's yet to be seen, because he was fairly moderate as a senator. But I think if he tries to work with both sides, both parties, he could end up getting some of his legislative agenda accomplished. However, if he just goes, hardcore partisan, it could be a different story. I don't know. But that's one of the big unknowns, is the new governor coming in. What's going to be his priorities, and how is he going to work with the legislature?
You have a Facebook page. You do a weekly, I think a weekly report on the, and you do a lot of reports during the session, keeping people up to date.
Yeah, I try to do weekly reports. I don't always get them out every week, but, you know, as to what's going on in the General Assembly. So, you know, and now with social media, I try to keep up with that. I have a new aide who helps me with that. I do try to do, you know, weekly or semi-weekly reports about what's going on in Richmond during session. So if anybody would like to be added to my email list or contact list, you can visit my Facebook page or my web page, which is marklcole.com, has all my contact information on it.
MarkLCole.com, the website. And again, I know you always, I know people stop by, come down there, or send you emails or letters talk about issues that way.
Yep. And that's always good. Emails are always nice because can't always take phone calls because we're so busy down there. And we get overwhelmed, quite honestly, that the emails are, I always look at the emails and read every one of them. And then, you know, we reply to them, you know, as soon as we can. But like I said, sometimes we get overwhelmed in Richmond.
So it's a long session. And I know you do, as assistant county administrator in Spotsylvania, occasionally for the night portion of some board meetings, you'll be down in Richmond chairing meetings and then coming back and helping the local board.
Yeah, come in and out a lot. I travel back and forth a lot to try to, you know, keep tabs locally and try to keep my head above water. But, you know, during session, you know, you're down in Richmond for most of the time every day.
Delegate Cole, thank you so much.
All right,
have
thank
a good
you.
Session, and we'll talk afterwards and wrap it all up. But thanks for what you do, and General Assembly starts next Wednesday.
Yep, and we'll see how it goes, and Happy New Year.
That's it for Town Talk. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.